Hello, welcome to the program today. I got a question for you. I'm just trying to figure out how delusional we are. Well, here's the deal. This President Trump guy, you've heard of him? He's on his way to a summit, a NATO summit. That would be the European nations, the friendly nations. They get together and they work together and that's called NATO. And Don Trump, I call him Don Trump, Don thinks that they're not contributing enough, so we should break this thing up. And then he's going to, after that, he's going to go meet with Putin, his good buddy, and they're going to meet behind closed doors one-on-one. No cameras, no aides, no assistants, just the two of them alone in a room, and they're going to discuss. Here's the thing, and what you need to do is have a background in math so that you're able to put two and two together. Oh, let's analyze this. This Putin guy, what is his biggest aim? What does he want to accomplish the most? That would be a strong Russia. He wants to break up the allies, the NATO organization. That's his goal. If he can break down NATO and get rid of all these friendly European allies, then Putin becomes more powerful and can do more of his liking. So his aim is to break up NATO and the European Union. That's the aim. Well, here comes Don Trump going to Europe first, and he wants to break up NATO. What a coincidence. Now, what does Donald Trump want? Donald Trump wants to be president forever, have a lot of power. He wants to be the president and the king of the world forever. Now, during the last election, what country is being accused of helping Donald Trump to win the election? That would be Russia. Why, isn't even there an investigation about that? That involves Donald Trump and his campaign? Yes, there is. Haven't there actually been indictments of some of Trump's campaign managers and Russian connections? Haven't they actually been indicted and actually pleaded guilty, saying, yeah, we did this? So it's true. Yeah, I guess it is. So what does Donald Trump want? Donald Trump wants to be president forever with Russia's help. Wait a minute. I even recall Donald Trump during the campaign saying, Russia, if you have any dirt on Hillary Clinton, I would love it. If you're hacking, then continue hacking. He said that. I heard it. I could play it right now. Donald Trump wants to be president. Russia has the ability to help him become president. That's what Don wants. What does Russia want? Russia wants the breakup of the European allies in the European Union and NATO. What is Donald able to do? Break it up. Break it up. So that's the deal. So these two guys who selfishly want something, they're going to meet in a room alone. And you don't think this stuff isn't going to come up? Nobody can hear them. No cameras, no recordings, no people. This is like, and then we're just sitting back and watching it happen. Well, sure, go on. Go on, plan things. Go on, plan things behind closed doors and screw us. This reminds me of like a horrible espionage film, but this is real. So what I did was I put two and two together, and for a change, I got four.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
They're about as weird as they can get.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. There's no denying that. Who are you? Come on, shout. Shout it out. I can't hear you. Come on, shout out. Who are you? Oh, that's weird. Welcome to the program. Make yourselves comfortable. You are my guest. This is what I do. I entertain you. You sit there and you put your hand on your chin and you say to yourself, huh, this guy's interesting. I'll listen to him. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the enthusiasm, by the way. I've developed I wouldn't call it a hobby or an interest because I don't have them. It's against my personality to have hobbies and interests because I'm so freaking lazy. Having a hobby or an interest would require some type of spark of movement, and I don't do those things. However, I'm restricted at my home from watering the lawn. I do have an irrigation system. I'm not filthy rich or anything, but the house I bought a while ago does have an irrigation system, which means it's just like a sprinkler system. You know, it automatically turns on and waters the lawn. Well, in the town that I live in, water use is restricted. There hasn't been much rain recently, and there usually isn't. So I can only use my automatic sprinkler system twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays. That's it. So, but you can use a handheld hose anytime you want. And people titter when they hear the phrase handheld hose. It always sounds quite sexual. There's nothing sexual about it. But for some reason, when you say handheld hose, you titter. I don't know why. It just is one of those things. It just is. So I actually go outside and I turn on my hose and I stand there and I handhold it. And I water parts of my lawn that are turning brown. And I water, little plants and things like that. What I'm getting into and what I'm getting to is that because I do handheld my hose, I notice that when I water I have little flowers planted all over the place. I'm not a pansy. I just have little flowers. I think growing things are wonderful. And that's what I've discovered. Because when I water these little flowers, the next day they seem to blossom more. They seem to be healthier. They seem to be more colorful. Before I throw water on them, they're kind of drooping, like I do. If I have no water on me, I droop. When I take a shower, I feel invigorated. It's as close to invigoration as I get, is when I get myself wet with my handheld hose. Oh, Ron, this still sounds weird. So I've developed an appreciation for watering things. So now I walk outside with my handheld hose whenever I can, and I just water things indiscriminately. I even water trees. I figure if I hose down a tree, it will grow. I don't know. Maybe it will. I'm starting to have a connection to growing things. Now, I'm not running out and buying hothouse tomatoes or eggplant seeds. I'm not doing that because there are too many bugs and worms and stuff get into the vegetables, and I'm not into that. I'll tell you a funny story really, really quickly because I really don't have that much time. I have other places to go, and I do have a life beyond this, so I'll just tell you a really fast, funny story.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
I was living in Rochester, New York. Don't ask me why. And it was only for a short period of time that I lived there. It was like a year and a half, 2 years tops. And I really got into gardening. And the lovely woman who was by my side loved gardening as well. We had a beautiful garden. We were growing all kinds of vegetables. We were growing cucumbers and eggplant and tomatoes and you name it, we were growing it. Green peppers. It's wonderful. It was, and I would walk out there with my handheld hose and water this garden every day as if I were the father and the garden was my child. I didn't have any children at that point in my life, so my children were my vegetables. I could go many, many places with that line, but I'm not going to. So we started going to the garden, and things started growing, and there was this lovely head of lettuce that we had grown. A lovely head. And I nurturingly brought this head of lettuce into the house, and we decided to have a salad that would use all of the vegetables that we had grown in the garden. They were growing large and healthy. And I prepared this salad. And we sat down at the table and we picked up our forks about to eat our salad. And I took my fork and I put it into the salad. And very quickly, out of the salad bowl crawls a worm. I don't know if it was a worm or some type of ooey gooey licey kind of thing. I don't know what the hell it was, but it was a worm-like creature, and it came crawling out of the salad bowl. And my girl screamed, and I screamed even louder, and we threw the salad out, and suddenly my love of growing vegetables in my garden was gone. My love had been destroyed. So I have a little bit of a history with growing things and then eating them. And that's my funny story.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, refined entertainment for a sophisticated audience. Who sometimes enjoy a good fart joke?
Aww. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Back in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, there was a thing called the Vietnam War. And it threw this country into great disarray because most people in this country were totally against us fighting in this Vietnam War because our soldiers were being lost left and right there was a draft. Not the kind that you feel in a restaurant when the air conditioning is on too high. I'm talking about a draft where your sons and sometimes daughters are sent off to war in a fruitless battle. And many of our kids were being killed accordingly. So there was an incredible revolution back here at home where colleges closed down. There were protests everywhere. Get out of the Vietnam War. Stop it now. There was a thing called free love. You didn't have to pay for it anymore. Where people just loved each other. There were love and peace signs. The Beatles sang about it. Many of the musical groups, the culture was peace and love. Peace and love. And smoking marijuana. Peace and love. And these were people that loved everybody, all peoples, all colors, all races, all backgrounds, everybody banded together to protest against this Vietnam War. And it really seemed like everybody was in tune, everybody was in step, and the guiding glue of all of it was peace and love. Make war no more. Peace and love. Most people thought that that would carry out through the rest of humanity, that this would be the love and peace cry forever. So my question to you is, what the hell happened? Where did these people go? These people now from the 60s and 70s are now senior citizens. They call them the baby boomers. These were kids that were born just after World War II, the baby boomers. Everybody, all the soldiers came home and screwed their wives and had children. There were a lot of them. It was the major population of the United States for the longest time and possibly still is. Until the baby boomers had their kids. Well, let me tell you something. What happened to them? They're senior citizens now. Are they preaching peace and love? No. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Money happened. The pursuit of happiness? No. The pursuit of cash? Yes. The pursuit of cash is the evil twin of hell. What happened to peace and love? Where'd it go? What happened to an entire movement that the entire world was in step with? It wasn't just the United States with the peace and love. It was England. It was Germany. It was Europe. It was the Far East. All were in step with peace and love. Make war no more. What happened? Where did they go? What changed them? What dismissed this theory from becoming prominent for the rest of their lives? I don't know the answer to that. And I guess I'm trying to seek that out. Where did they go?
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die.
Where'd you go? Where did you go? Are you hiding behind the couch? Where did you people go?
Oh, make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Get together, try to love one another right now.
You think Donald Trump in his entire life ever went hungry? Ever didn't have enough money in his pocket to get what he wanted at any given time? Do you think he ever really saw or felt poverty? Or the urge to survive because you had nothing? Do you think Donald Trump ever was denied anything that he wanted that he couldn't buy otherwise? Like winning court cases, settling suits, ducking problems by declaring bankruptcy? Was he ever denied playing on a golf course? Was he ever denied anything in his life? Ever profiled? No. Never.
Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
So where did all the peace and love people go? Are they down at the Knights of Columbus playing bingo? Where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They're working in soup kitchens, volunteering for their communities, helping out where they can, recycling, loving the planet. But how come there aren't more of them? I don't know.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
I'm looking for them. If you know any of them, tell them to give me a call or drop me an email or something. Because I don't know where they are. I'd love to sit down and talk to them. Because that's a community of people I want to belong to. People that love each other, respect each other, have an affinity to the planet on which they live, respect their neighbors, love, maybe a little drink here and there, maybe a little toke on the old pot thing. Not such a bad deal. What a wonderful way of life that would be. Where are you guys?
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Sure, I like a good burger, but for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Brian. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you.
Brian Phillips is an advanced sommelier. Did I pronounce that properly?
Very good. Yeah, sommelier.
Spot on. It's not a word that a lot of people can say. They kind of slur it, sommelier, which...
You know, it's okay to just to say wine guy. That's all right.
I like that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
And that means that you're a wine expert in the sense that do you walk around with a little cup around your neck?
You know, that is... the old stereotype that we have, like what they call a taste of in that little silver cup that we walk around and try everybody's wine.
Yes.
And, you know, things have really changed dramatically over the years. We're really there just for the guest. And, you know, we just really want to highlight the experience and yep. make sure they have a good time. That's ultimately our job. Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to have a quote-unquote wine guy walking around because you feel like, okay, now this is going to be taken care of properly. A lot of people think they know yeah. what they're doing. A lot of people don't. So this is interesting. The Capital Grille, of course, is like the high side of stuff as far as pairing wines and food and such. So educate me a little bit. Now, does wine have to come from France, which is, I guess, where sommelier comes from?
Yeah, good question. No, it does not have to come from France, although a lot of the grapes that we all are familiar with, mm-hmm. such as Cabernet and Chardonnay, did come from France, mm-hmm. and they were brought over to the Americas and planted in, say, California. No, there's wine in pretty much every single corner of the globe at this point, and mm-hmm. every state in this country produces wine now. So, yeah, it's uh-huh. interesting to see. And I think, you know, from what I see from a lot of people that come into restaurants is they're a little nervous about how to select the wines, how do they create that dining mm-hmm. experience. And so a lot of people just kind of skip out on doing the whole experience instead of just going at that one bottle and sticking with that the whole dinner. You know, what we do at the Capital Grille is, mm-hmm. you know, this exclusive event such as the Generous Pour, mm-hmm. where for $28 they can, you know, have a personalized wine dinner experience, try 7 different wines. And that server's looking out for those pairings for them and mm-hmm. really making those great suggestions.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. A lot of people, when they order wine or choose wine, it's usually something that they're familiar with for two reasons. One, because they know that they're going to like it and it's fairly consistent. And the other is they sound like they know what they're doing and that they're hip on the wine thing. Yeah. But isn't it kind of fun to try different things?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a little bit of a safety net when you go with a producer you know yeah. or that's been established mm-hmm. or has, you know, credited ratings. Mm-hmm. But I think just keeping an open mind, I think that the one thing that makes wine the most interesting thing that we can ever consume is that you're always learning. And even myself, who's been, you know, in wine aficionado, searching out wine pretty much more than half my life, I'm still finding new discoveries all the time, and I love those discoveries. They're not always necessarily what I was hoping for, but when you find a great one, it's worth the search.
Yeah, I guess so. And then how do fads begin where all of a sudden there's a certain type of wine that just everybody orders, and then that fades away like in maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and then it's another wine that everybody orders?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a trend. I think that a lot of people in America especially like to grab onto a specific brand and yeah. hold on to that. Uh-huh. But there's just so much out there in the world of wine, and it's constantly evolving and changing, and there's new regions producing better wines. Mm. And I think that people ultimately, they want the best bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. And so if they see an opportunity to go, wow, here's this producer that we didn't know about yeah. in this region we don't normally think of, and it's only, you know, $15 a bottle and it's getting 95 points and everyone's loving it, I'm going to jump onto that.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of a trend situation there, but ultimately it comes down to people just really finding the best wines for the dollar.
Yeah. I mean, most lay people, it's, you know, chicken and fish, white and meat, red. Does that transcend now, or is that kind of still the rule?
Oh, I'm a fan of throwing the rules, you know, out the window. Yeah. However, in a short, very quick explanation of how do you pair wine, you do want the weight of the wine to match the weight of the food.
Okay.
So you just don't want to overpower it. So, you know, if you're having a delicate sea bass and you have Cabernet with it, that might be a little difficult. However, I just like to really stick to what's good is good and pair those two together, you
okay.
know, and yeah, have a good time with it and experiment a little bit, but don't get too constricted on your pairings.
Okay. All right. And obviously in churches and things, they always use the same wine. Okay, never mind. okay. Let's talk about the Generous Pour event. Yeah. Is that something that's, when is that taking place?
Yeah, so that's happening now until September 2nd.
Okay.
So today is actually the day it kicks off. And yeah, you can see all the wines on the CapitalGrille.com website, mm-hmm. but we are featuring the Soaring Legacy of Dan Duckhorn. He was really instrumental to establishing the premium wines of Napa Valley, mm-hmm. and has expanded into other regions as well, such as Anderson Valley and even Columbia Valley, Washington, with Red Mountain. He's doing some excellent Cabernet there. And so this is really an opportunity to get to know this producer and these wines. And so we're featuring 7 exclusive wines this year at the Generous Pour. And we're starting off with some really light crisp Sauvignon Blanc from Napa Valley, Duckhorn, and then moving into the all-popular rosé category that we're just seeing skyrocketing right now with Golden Eye Rosé. Mm-hmm. And that's a rosé of Pinot Noir to a pretty classic oaked Chardonnay from Sonoma County. Migration Pinot Noir, I think Pinot Noir is all the rage too. I think that's just one of those very versatile wines that can go with all types of different foods. So if you're in doubt, go with Pinot Noir. And then you have Duckhorn Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley, and then a beautiful Cabernet. A lot of people don't think about Red Mountain. It's the smallest appellation for wine production in all of Washington State, and this canvas-back Cabernet that they're producing is excellent. And then Paradox, which is kind of a fun take on the classic Bordeaux varietals, which are Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. And they're throwing a little bit of Zinfandel in there to give it that California touch. Zinfandel is kind of one of our iconic grapes we do really well with in California that nobody else does in the world like we do. So an opportunity to really have these paired perfectly by your server, you know, with your dinner. You can just relax, enjoy, let them do all the thinking, and you can just drink a bunch of great wine.
This is fun. Not so bad.
Yeah.
How do I hook up? How do I do it? Do I go to the Capital Grill or do I make a reservation?
How does that work? Just call your Capital Grill and they'll make you that table reservation, or you can go onto thecapitalgrill.com and you can review the story behind each wine as well. Or a concierge app is a great way to do it as well.
Yeah. You know what I like about the Capital Grill also? I can wear my fancy pants. I'm sick of going into places in jeans and a tank top. I mean, I did, you know, and drinking a beer. I'm just sick of that. It's nice to, that's like going to a fancy deal. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that fancy, but it feels nice sometimes to, as you say, sit back, relax, be served, and enjoy the finer things in life for a short period of time, if that.
Exactly. We always want everyone to feel comfortable and relaxed, but at the same time, it's the middle of the summer, and we know it's shorts and T-shirts all day. So this is an opportunity to come in and really kind of take a little bit of a break and have a great wine dinner experience.
Very, very nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Website, just capitalgrill.com, I would assume. I don't know.
Thecapitalgrill.com.
See, I didn't even have that in front of me. I just assumed, and usually when you assume things, bad things happen, but it worked for me just then.
Beautiful. Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking about it, Deron.
Thank you so much, and I raise my glass to you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, have a great summer. Cheers. Right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That'll do it for me today, I'll tell you that right now. That's enough of me for one day. But I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until that time that we can gather together in peace and love, I do wish you peace. Come on, everybody, sing along. You know the words.